Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 52, sponsored as always by Comicole.com. Hey there, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. It's episode number 52. I'm Ron.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm not playing that.
I just did a line of coke.
Start.
At iFanboy.com, we like comics a lot, and we read a lot of comics. And every week, one of us picks a comic of the ones that came out this week to review, and we write it up on the site on iFanboy.com, and you can go read that. And then we also come here to this podcast to talk about the various comics that came out. This week it was Josh's pick, but before we get there, our usual listeners have heard this before, but for our new listeners, this is a review show, so we just want to warn you that we're going to talk about the stuff that happened in the comics. So if you haven't bought your books or haven't read through your stack yet, you might want to hit pause and come back when after you did that. All right, Josh, well, this week was your pick, and I really want to hear about it.
Wait,
I
was...
I mean that sincerely.
I was supposed to read books... I don't ever do my homework.
Now
Wednesday.
It's funny because it's true.
Now every third Wednesday is like, oh, off to make the donuts. I used to enjoy reading comics. Now I got a big stack. I got to read them all, and then I come back the next day, and people on the website are like, "Well, why didn't you read this?" And no, they don't really do that. Although every morning I get up and I'm like, "What do they think? I need that validation." So anyways, I went with real left field Dark Horse Challenger, and I picked Wolverine 47 because I wanted to show my indie cred.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I was shocked too. I got home and looked, and I didn't expect to see that there.
So Connor was shocked so much that he text messaged me because I was driving home to tell me what the pick was. That's how shocked he was.
Yeah.
You know what?
I was shocked in a good way. I was just surprised.
It was a really good book, and it's been a really good book the whole time. And we always kind of talked about it. And it's almost been pick of the week a couple of times. And really, when I say that before, that I'm sort of making fun of the fact that this is about as mainstream a book as you can go. And if you guys, you guys know me, like I shudder to think that this was the best book I read, but.
It's really ironic, and it's going to be like backwards world for me to say this because I also shun the mainstream. But like, I almost feel like to for some reason comics aren't different, and to shun a book just because it's so mainstream, I think doesn't give it a chance. Well, and I think this is a good example of I think your reasoning for Picnate was perfect because Guggenheim and Ramos have been doing a fantastic job on this arc.
It's just a really good book, and it doesn't matter that it's as mainstream a character as you can get. Right. And, this is like for half our audience, because the other half are like, what's wrong with a mainstream character? Well, certain of us have long-standing things that anything this popular can't be good. And it's embedded in me, but, like, the truth is, it's a really good book, and I'm reading it, and this issue and the last issue, it was just, like, a lot of fun to read. Wolverine, like, is quipping, and he's being funny, but it's all within the voice. Like, he's made Wolverine really energetic, but still kept with like, the character seems correct. It's not like he's just funny wisecracking Wolverine now.
I thought it was actually amped up this issue, like the under-the-breath lines.
Yeah.
There were more in this issue than ever. Like, it's almost like he Guggenheim's finally comfortable with the character and the characterization.
Which is great, because he's got one issue left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sucks a lot. Yeah, I would have kept buying this, but now I'm not.
They should keep them on this book for a year.
Yeah, I probably won't keep buying this, quite honestly.
I'm not. I'll buy the next one, the wrap-up issue, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if I hear that the ones that follow that are really good, then I might, but really, you know.
Did either of you read the original, like, Mark Silvestri, Larry Hama, like, those ones? Like,
I read the Claremont Byrne ones.
No, Claremont
Byrne. Claremont, Frank Miller.
Claremont and Frank Miller did the miniseries, but the ongoing.
No, I read those. I read like a long time ago, the Claremont Miller ones. But then number one, no, was it Buscema? It was Claremont wrote it. I'm the best there when he was Patch.
Yeah, that's the ongoing. That's the ongoing.
Right. Yeah, I read that for the first 25 issues or something. Right, originally.
And then Larry Hama came on, I believe, if I remember correctly. Mark Silvestri was doing pencils, and it was just it was awesome. It was really good.
No, see, that was when I stopped reading it, even back then.
Yeah, but it was really good. It was before the whole Image thing, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, to talk about the book though, like the things that I liked this is the best storyline in Civil War, as far as I'm concerned.
Far and away,
it's really interesting. Wolverine just said, you know what, this politics is really stupid. What about the guy who actually did it? And he goes after Nitro, and they have that. And they threw in some Atlanteans. That was the part I didn't like so much.
Yeah, that was the kind of.
But then it just kind of went away. It's almost like he knew it wasn't really working.
You know why? Because I think that tied into what's going on in Frontline, and that was the one little hook.
Yeah. You know. So he goes through the whole thing and gets the revenge, and you know, there are even some cliches in here, but I almost don't mind them for whatever reason. And then you take it one step further, and you have Humberto Ramos, and really, I mean, again, like, I would not think that I would like this, but in this context, with this book, it just works perfectly.
Like, I love Humberto Ramos.
If you were to show me these pages and say, would you like the book that these were in, I would say, no, I wouldn't like the book that those were in, because it's not my taste. Not that there's anything wrong with it, it's just not the kind of thing that I normally gravitate towards. But it all works together, it's really well done. The energy in the art is so apparent. Yeah. You know what? But like, you know, like it's very kinetic, and like the way that you see the characters moving around. He does like the greatest Wolverine faces. Like his Wolverine faces are awesome.
Except it's really funny because I just opened to a page, and if you flip, it's to the left of the vampire insert.
I'm hating these inserts more than anything in the free world.
Yeah, I know. Even though, don't get me started on why I kind of want to buy this book, because I miss Brett Booth. But that's another thing. But if you look, there's two fantastic panels where there's a close up of Maria Hill in the upper left hand corner, and then in the lower right hand corner there's an awful Maria Hill.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, I was like, it was funny because I just saw it as you were talking about how great the art was, and I was about to agree, but then I was like, ooh, look at that panel.
And
whatever.
Somebody else on the website brought up the nitpick, I think, and I thought of it too, like how he busts out of, like they have him these big hand restraints, and they're like, there's Nullifier, they nullify your mutant power, and he busts out, and he's like, but my claws aren't mutant. Yeah, they probably would have known that, but whatever.
Well, no, I thought that was a really clever.
Yeah, I don't think that was unusual.
Because he said people, a lot of people assume that they're a superpower. You know, but they're not. They're just biological.
Well, yeah, most people don't know that's not.
Yeah.
Well, if I was him, I wouldn't have told them then.
But yeah,
I would just bust it out.
Wouldn't have sent
so
it
then
out,
it get, you yeah. get to the like the whole thing. You find out the actual villain is this guy from Damage Control.
A corporation.
Which I loved, by the way. And then at the very end,
I'm so glad they brought back.
Yep.
Yeah.
The very end, like you're looking, he's facing down with the villain, and in every comic book I've ever read, this is the point when the hero walks away and leaves him to the police. Every single time, I turn the page and I was like, wait a minute. He speared him through the eyes and killed him.
Brilliant.
And
did not see that coming.
I didn't, and I didn't expect it, and I was just like, bravo to have the balls to go ahead and do that.
Yep, he did what nobody else would.
And he really did it, and
he clawed him in the face.
Yeah, that was awful. And I went back and forth. I'm doing it right now. I'm like, he really did. Because it was done sort of in a flashback-y kind of thing, and it was just like, I applaud them for just having the bravery to go through with a story. I know it's not a big deal, and like I sound like I'm like, it's so cool, he killed that guy through his eyes. But I know
it never happens in
the
mainstream.
Exactly. The hero like dished out the justice, and he's okay with the ambiguity of that, which was touched on a little bit in Rucka's run, where he was going after the horrible drug runner / guy.
Child, whatever.
Yeah. And then he finds out it's a pregnant woman. I don't remember. I think he killed her.
And that was part of his argument with Cyclops and Emma, how saying he's like, you know, you guys have your rules and they have their rules, and I kind of follow my own, you know, like I'm going to do what's right, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and it's nice because you don't have to agree with it, you know, but it's his take on things, and that's what the book's supposed to be.
Yeah,
it's good.
This was great. I'm glad you picked it. It was really good.
It was pretty easy. I wasn't You know, there wasn't. I was thinking. I was like this. I was showed Connor my books. I said, "Queen and Country, you're looking at it right here. This will be the pick."
Yes, he said that in line at the comic store.
See, whenever you say that, it always works against
it. It never happens. It never happens.
I'll tell you the one thing that knocked Queen and Country right out of the running. Well, Connor, do you know what it is?
Let me get
Maria
to
Hill, because she's hot.
Except when her mouth was on the side of her face.
Except her mouth was, when she looked like a... I don't know if I say what she looked like.
What knocked Queen of Country out of the running? I don't know.
Dead air here. I got eye strain reading this thing.
Oh, yeah, the fact
but what that about Queen of Country?
The fact right? the typesetting was 3 times smaller than normal?
Yeah, I couldn't read a damn thing in it. It was really hard.
I don't understand why that is.
I don't either, because it's like... A, it doesn't come out very often. B, I recommend this book all the time, and I was kind of like, what the hell are they doing to me? Great art, you know, like...
Great story, yeah.
Yeah, really good, all of it. You know, I was quite surprised. It was really interesting. It was good. However, like, I have a hard time recommending, like, this right now, because there's no way you're going to pick this up and understand it.
No.
And the other thing
is... even me, I mean... Right. The issues in, I it's been
do you know
so long
why?
Since the last issue came out.
This book hinges on the fact, somewhat, that you have read
the novel,
the first novel at least. There's even a flashback scene. No, there's a flashback scene to the novel.
I know that, but I haven't read the novel yet. It's my next book, but it's you can still follow it.
I'm not
it's probably
saying
not as good.
I'm not saying it hinges. Okay, I use the word hinge, but like it helps. It's...
I'm not saying what I just said 2 minutes ago.
No, I'm changing my wording.
You're right. Yeah. You can still follow it. I'm sure there's layers to it that I don't get not having read the novel.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing is it's the last. I couldn't even tell you when the last one came out.
No, it was a while ago.
30 came out at least 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. It always feels too short, though. I will I got to the end, you know, and like rubbed my eyes.
But it was fantastic, and I will say this: that the last page, I was like, "Ooh, what's going to happen?"
Mm-hmm. And they always do that.
He's going to fuck some shit up with this.
Yeah. They send Minder 3 in to get out Minder 1 and Minder 2. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's a good issue. But if, like, for some reason I read it, it's got so much stuff in it, but by the time I get to the end, I feel like I've read 12 pages.
Really? I feel the opposite way. I feel like it's so dense that it takes me forever to finish.
Really? I mean, yeah. I think that I really want to know what's happening. Like,
it
I
could
really
be that
want
I
know what's
to,
happening
had
now.
To use my electron microscope to read the word balloons.
It's possible. It's very possible.
This is a book you have to read in trade paperback, I think.
You have to read it in order. You have to have read the whole thing through. You can't. I'd love to recommend Queen and Country to everybody, but don't go pick up a new issue and think I can jump on here because it's hard. Like,
yeah,
it's very
in depth. Start from the beginning. It's one of those things. It's unfortunate, but that's the case.
That being said, it is one of the best books being made today.
Yes,
and it has been consistently. There hasn't been a bad Queen and Country.
No, not at all. I mean, this is fantastic work. So let's go the other way, which was the relaunching of Wildcats and the Authority.
Yeah, talk about jumping on.
I was not going to buy these, but then I decided, all right, I'll buy them.
So I was not going to buy Wildcats, and I'm still not going to buy the Authority, but I bought Wildcats.
Which I find interesting, because the Authority is way up your alley more than
I stopped reading.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't buy the Authority.
I stopped reading the Authority after Mark Miller's run was over.
No, not the concept. I mean this particular book.
Oh, I didn't even know. I don't buy the Authority just on principle.
Plus Gene Ha is the artist. I figured that would be.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm really shocked. I mean, honestly, I bought both. I wasn't going to buy the Authority, but I said, you know, for whatever reason, I'm committed to buying the first issue of each of these, this relaunch, because I'm curious about
what
they're
doing. It's your brain tumor. That's what it is.
No, not so much. Like, I'm even buying the ones that I normally wouldn't have bought. You know, like, I didn't think I was going to buy the Midnighter, but as a little project, I'm going to buy the first issue, because after reading the Captain Atom series and reading about this relaunch, I was really, really curious about it. And the screw-up of having Wetworks come in, you know, come out, be the first book, and then Gen 13, and just kind of, like, the iffiness of those books... Knowing that Wildcats was like the flagship title, I'm like, all right, well, let me get it. Let me give it a shot.
By the way, does anybody expect issue 2 ever?
Yeah, I know. Well, and here's the thing: is that immediately, I know we talk about nostalgia a lot and stuff like that, but I remember buying Wildcats number 1 from in 1992.
Yes.
And it was just so energetic, and it was so exciting, and it was just so great. And honestly, I mean, and Grant, and you know the problems I have with Grant Morrison. You know the issues I have with him.
Mm-hmm.
And setting aside the stuff I'm going to talk about in a second. This was a fantastic comic book.
We're talking about Wildcats?
Wildcats,
okay.
Yeah. I thought it was great in its use of storytelling and its art. Like that one panel of Spartan and Voodoo, and they had the same panel behind them, but like bigger and dot, you know, kind of like pop arty kind of behind it.
Having the robot mutant sex?
No. That's the page before that. The page before that.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, where they're both standing up. Yeah. I just thought it was just the story was easy to understand and it was easy to follow and I got a feel for what's happening.
Really? Because I was confused.
I gotta say that I disagree entirely.
I can't disagree stronger than that.
Here's my problem with it. Maybe I'm tainted by what I know of the previous. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression that this WorldStorm reboot was rebooting the entire WildStorm universe from scratch. And that's what it is, that they're erasing what happened before and going from beyond. I did some reading, and I found a little column by Jim Lee. I'd actually prepared for the podcast. Ooh. I found a column from Jim Lee. Where he said that was the original purpose, but when the creators came back, they said, you know, we want to stick with the concepts.
Oh.
And so, okay, I get that.
I never read the Wildcats until I read Joe Casey's run. And I read it all the way through up until the point it was canceled, and I was crushed when it was canceled because, as you guys know, I think it's the best work he's probably done, or at least my favorite.
Right.
And I really wanted to know where he was going with it because he focused on the parts of it that I really enjoy, which was sort of how Spartan went and became, you know,
the corporation. I mean, before Spartan,
I loved that. And I loved that Cole Cash, who, come on, he's a Logan rehash, really.
He's a little Logan, a little Batman.
Yeah.
A little Hawkeye, too.
Yeah. But he was, like, he lost his legs in that series, and, like, he had to find a different way to do things, and I always, I really enjoyed that. This, to me, feels like it starts off, like, a year later from, I really feel like it picks up on the threads from where Joe Casey left off and didn't get to finish.
Well, that's the thing, is that it picks up on a lot of stuff that happened, to the point of actually showing the old Wildcats and the old Authority, and, like, my question being, okay, like, is this really a relaunch? Like, how much are they tying into what has happened before? And it looks like a hell of a lot.
Yeah, well, this book is straight on. I mean, like, if you were reading Wildcats when it got canceled before, basically the Halo Corporation had just introduced, batteries that didn't die. And, like, they were going to change, he was going to change the world with this whole thing. And as you come into this one, the first thing you notice is that Halo has made it possible for everybody to have a Spartan robot. And I feel that, like, that was probably what Joe Casey was working up to.
Right.
And I happen to know that him and Grant Morrison talk a lot and are friends. So I think that Grant Morrison called him and said, you know, like, can I pick up where you were going to go? And so they skipped everything that would have happened had this thing not got canceled and brought it to here, at least that part of it.
Right, and now the thing is, there is, I mean, like, Majestic looks to be very much different, you know, with the helmet, with the scary helmet and that whole thing, you know.
See, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah, I don't know who most, I don't know who those people are.
When Zealot is fighting and the guy in the big helmet comes down, that's Mr. Majestic, who is like the Superman archetype, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, for a new fan jumping on...
Horrible.
I don't know. I mean, it's a combination of, like, I don't know if it's confusing because it's actually confusing.
Well, my issue...
Or if it's confusing because it's the first issue, and then by issue five, you would know
what's going on. Right, but the issue I have is, if it's a relaunch, it shouldn't be dropping you in the middle of an old storyline.
Yeah.
Right, and that's and because we know about the old storylines, that's what it feels like to us.
No, so I don't know about the old storylines.
No,
I'm talking about me. I mean, you know.
Right, but you said we. I don't know this stuff, and I'm buying a relaunch, quote-unquote relaunch, and I... don't know what the hell
were you
going
completely
on.
Lost
90%. I mean, I read the Joe Casey run, and previous to that I probably hadn't read Wildcats in like 10 years.
See, the parts that were touched on in his run I understood Cole Cash.
Yeah,
that
whole scene with Cole Cash stuff and the scene with Spartan and Voodoo,
right? But
everything else was just lost.
Yeah,
over my
exactly
head.
I lost that
well,
stuff too.
I think that's the newness of it. And so I mean, like, I'm not gonna say I knew exactly. I mean, like, I have questions, and I'm sure issue 2 and issue 3 will explain them.
Now, I've said it before too, but I don't get why people love Jim Lee's art.
I think it's got to be a agree to disagree because
he was actually very good. Really good. Yeah. He was very good in this. He's more suited to Wildcats than he is to anything else.
I know. You know what it is? That, to me, it just looks antiquated. Well, it's funny because
you're dismissing it just to dismiss it.
I'm not dismissing it at all. I'm saying that, like, when I look at it, I don't understand what gets people excited about it. It's really rendered and, like, but to me, like, you look at the last page where you have, I guess it's Mr. Majestic in his Ultron helmet. And, like, the Zealot page, like, I don't know, that just feels like something out from a long time ago, and which I didn't like then, and I don't like now. It's my taste. I'm not dismissing
it
out.
Yeah, that's why it's an agree-to-disagree thing, because I think it's, I mean, because it's...
No, I know a lot of people do.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's. I think he handles tech really well. Admittedly, he handles women really well. I mean, but he also handles like he can really draw. I mean, like the cover, that grifter. I mean, like that. That's a really good cover. I mean, I mean, regardless of whether it's a ripoff of Wolverine or whoever, like I love that red mask.
No, I do
black.
Too.
You know, like he does great character design. And he does, you know, like, he really, you know, the level of detail and, like, some of the angles and stuff like that. Like, I have yet to ever see anything by Jim Lee that I haven't been able to say, you know, I like. Even the Superman mishmash. I like the art.
Yeah, I just
he was wrong for Superman.
Yeah, he was wrong, but the art was still good. He didn't look like Superman, he didn't feel like Superman to me, but I still thought the art was good. You know, like, I thought the it was, you know.
Yeah. Bad. I don't know, I just, when I look at this artwork, I feel like I'm looking at comics from 10, 15 years ago.
Well, because he was drawing comics 10, 15 years ago.
I know.
I mean that. But the thing is, you're looking at his comic. I mean, the fact is that he hasn't been working steadily. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if Todd McFarlane drew an issue of Spawn, would you feel the same way?
Probably. But I would feel like I've moved on. Like, I don't listen to the same music I did then, or I don't. You know.
Right. But then it when.
But know, I never liked this back then. So.
Right. And so, like, you pick up a Neil Adams book. Does it feel like comics from 30 years ago?
I mean, Neil Adams' work is beautiful.
Well, that's. I mean,
there you go.
You're applying different standards.
No, I know that.
Just say you don't. You know, just say you don't like it and move on.
I am. I'm just trying to figure out. Like, I know everybody likes this.
It's personal. We can't say how. Just it's
personal. It's a personal aesthetic. Well, anyway, moving on to the Authority. On the other hand,
which you would love the art in this, Josh.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Jean Ha.
Oh, Jean Ha.
Yeah. Am I missing something? Is the Authority in this book?
No.
Okay, I just thought I missed a page or something.
They find the ship at the end.
They find the ship at the bottom of the
basically
ocean.
Basically, some sort of shady government agency in England they find something anomalous on the floor of the ocean, and at the end of it, it's revealed to be the Authority's ship.
It's the Authority spaceship, yeah, crashed or whatever.
But it's all tight close ups. There's a lot of panels, and you know, you don't really get a sense of people. It's very interesting art choices.
I thought the art was good. It's just I thought the story was slower than molasses.
Grant Morrison write that too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does he sleep now?
Well, the question is that how much can he do? I mean,
how many books is he writing?
He's got this. We got Authority, Wildcats, Batman, 52, all of his Virgin comics. I don't know how many. If he's just doing one or what?
He's doing Virgin. He's doing a comic for Virgin,
isn't he? He did. He
he's
was
exclusive to DC, isn't he?
No, I don't think he's doing Virgin.
Garth Ennis is doing Virgin.
No, but Grant Morrison gave a speech at the Virgin Comics thing in San Diego that everyone was talking about afterwards. I remember it.
Oh, I thought it was just about Zen. It was just about beliefs. It wasn't about a comic.
Yeah, but why would he be talking for Virgin Comics? He wasn't doing any
because
work for it.
Because wasn't Deepak Chopra?
Yeah, it wasn't about comics.
It wasn't about comics. It was about spirituality.
No, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. So, well, I thought the Authority was just like a mess. It was just.
I enjoyed it 20 times more than I enjoyed the Wildcats.
That's so interesting. That's so funny.
Yeah.
So this is for you people who write in and say, "I wish you guys didn't let we never agree on a damn thing."
This I'm going to definitely continue with. I don't think I'm going to buy another Wildcats.
I don't know if I want to buy another Wildcats or not.
The key thing with Wildcats is that I will even step back and say if it's bi-monthly, I'll keep buying.
Listen,
no, you're going to continue to buy it.
I dropped the All-Star books.
That doesn't mean anything.
Ostensibly, they haven't come out yet, so we haven't proven
it. We've all dropped them. We just haven't had a chance to buy it.
Now, listen, when issue
I
comes
won't pick them up again.
When issue 3 comes out in 2009, we will decide. Like, it's so funny because we're all like, well, maybe it'll come out next week. Come on.
I know.
It's so not coming out next month.
It's almost like a game now.
Yeah. Like, who's not keeping... Like, Jim Lee's the one who's not keeping up on Batman. So he officially agreed to throw that aside, that big like clearly he put the big name project of Batman with Frank Miller and said this isn't important enough for me to keep up with. I'm going to do this thing. Like,
and then
how are we to trust him?
And then he was 3 weeks late on that thing or 2 months late on that thing.
I mean,
how he can get away with doing multiple books? The same.
He's
comic.
Like
he is the Teflon Don of comics.
He is like he's like the guy like, baby, I didn't mean to cheat on you. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay. I'm gonna come back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I got mad.
Oh, all of a sudden there's a girl on the line.
Oh, hello.
Maybe it's because his pocket sizeiness can allow him to escape persecution.
Oh my God, maybe he can't draw at the same page rate
because he has to use huge pencils.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Well, they're not huge, but proportionally.
We're coming close again to the no longer funny, actually insulting.
He's a small guy, and I know. Well, you at least said you really like his art.
I do love. I love it.
Me, I'm in trouble.
I love it.
I'll never get work in this industry.
That must be me. I love it. Well, as far you know, from late books to what about books that come out on schedule?
That was an awesome segue.
Wasn't it? Thank you.
You know, we're not supposed to point it out every time, and you're not supposed to try so damn hard. It sounds like
I only point it out when it's terrible.
Yeah, okay.
And that was terrible.
52, week 24. What did you guys think?
I think it was good. I thought it was a really, really good one.
Yeah, no. I mean, it aside from, I mean, Phil Jimenez did absolutely help, and I'll admit that, but it felt like a comic book for the first time in a long while.
Hey, Phil, don't discount the art, because I opened the first page up, and I went, whoa!
It was, like, shocking.
You know what's funny is that this is usually the first book I read, and what happened was I opened, I started reading, I was about three pages in, and I was like, wait a minute, this doesn't, hold on, I went back and I looked, and I was like, oh, there's a real artist on it.
Yeah, that's that, see, so regardless of my affinity of Phil Jimenez.
I'm just teasing you.
Why is Elliot F. Maggin Green Arrow's press secretary?
Yeah, I was like, gee, make it a little subtler than just making it actually Elliot Maggin. When I saw the cover, I was like, there's a Torin in the DC universe?
Hello, that, anyone?
That's not a good character. And I thought the green character...
Ambush Bug.
Isn't he one of the Micronauts in Marvel?
No, that's Ambush Bug. He's been around forever.
Has he been around? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's a Batman villain, isn't he?
No, he's not a villain. He's just a goofball.
He's like Morph in the Exiles.
I don't know what that means.
Is he a shape changer?
No.
He reminded me of Morph from the Exiles.
He didn't do anything but to break the fourth wall. I mean, he's not a serious character. He's
And that's what he was doing. I mean, yeah, he was like talking about the comic directly.
Yeah.
Was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which was weird.
Yeah, what he said, the weekly grind is tearing me apart. 52!
I love the idea of these heroes deciding they needed to get a Justice League together, and then they try, and it's a disaster, and...
Yeah, totally.
And I like how angry Martian Manhunter is, and the fact that he can't—he just wants to punish anything involved with the death of Blue Beetle, and he can't.
Yeah,
I love the futility of that. And
it was really good. And the only point of disappointment I had was on the week 24, day 7 page in the White House when they're looking at the newspaper of the Metropolis massacre, and Phil drew in Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean on the front page of the paper. Which I thought that was, I was like, oh.
Well, you know what? I just noticed
something. But Elliot Maggin was in it.
We're talking about 52, and this is our 52nd episode.
Oh, look at you.
I mean, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We did it. Why can't DC?
I also really like that we actually had one of the real pantheon of heroes in Oliver Queen and Martian Manhunter back, you know, like in the book of, you know.
But there's also the idea of now it's really starting to tie into events.
Yeah,
like we're starting to see the formation of Checkmate, which we all read about, and the whole idea of Martian Manhunter is very angry and bitter in his book, and it's all starting to, now it's all starting to come together.
Yeah,
and that was really
fun.
6 months
after the fact,
right?
I didn't really love this issue.
I thought this was one of the best ones.
I don't know. I guess it was because I felt like the main storylines. I was like, what the hell is happening now? It felt like they were just starting new stuff. And I wanted to know what was happening with the other stuff, but...
Right. Come on, you had pictures on the table. You love pictures on the table.
I do. What, because I'm the only person in the country who liked Brad Meltzer's JLA?
Yes.
I can't... More people have been like, I don't know, I didn't really like it. And I'm like, but why do I? Why don't I like Jim Lee? And why do I like Brad Meltzer's JLA?
You're like a Bizarro comic fan.
I don't know. And I picked Wolverine. I've... It's a weird world.
Startled. You're an enigma.
So the last book I read in my stack actually was Runaways, because I actually I left it in the bathroom. I forgot about it.
Oh. Why must there always be a bathroom reference?
Did this cover piss you off?
Me?
Yeah.
No, why?
It has nothing to do with the story.
I honestly didn't think about it. The covers, because I, for some reason, I discount the covers in Runaways, because they never have anything to do with the story.
I'm just looking at it. I think it's a really nice cover. It's a really nice little piece of
just
art.
A pit up, though.
Nothing to do with the story, but I know that upsets you, so I wondered if you were in a rage.
Now I'm pissed off. Thank you. And what further pisses me off is that they left the cursor on the truck, the mouse cursor. Is that there on purpose?
What are you talking about?
In the upper left-hand corner of the grill, lower right-hand corner from the names, do you see a mouse cursor?
That's weird.
Yeah, Is that there on purpose? Is that like a is that a play on the logo?
Someone just got a no prize. Really? God.
Yeah, is that weird?
You've just ground the podcast to a halt because I'm just looking at it and wondering.
And I didn't read it, so I can't comment on it.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was fantastic.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because there's a couple of things that I really liked about this. I know you haven't really been so into it, but I you know what I don't see in comics enough that's any fun is a giant monster destroying a city.
Yes.
It was a big giant green monster destroying the city, but that really wasn't purple. What the story was about.
The monster was purple.
Why did I think it was green? I don't know. I'm colorblind.
Because deep in your heart, in your main heart,
it was
lies
the Hulk.
A Red Sox fan.
Yeah. What?
Green monster.
Oh, I was thinking of the Hulk.
God, that was even worse than your segue.
All right, listen, the Coke's wearing off.
Oh.
Good
anyway,
line.
There was that, and I thought that it was a really nice... They've taken the character of Chase, and I thought they were taking him to a really interesting place where he's kind of freaking out, and I could see it going the other way, and I could see things sort of reversing the other way, and it is
a good direction to take to finish out the run. It is interesting to see what happens.
And you're giving him lots of things, like, you don't know where he's going to go from now, like how far over the edges is going to push him, and people were kind of bitching because it's not the same artist. I almost didn't notice, but...
I didn't notice at all.
I will miss Brian Vaughn on this book.
How many more issues till he leaves?
Three?
It's 21, so which one was Whedon picking up? 24 or 25?
He probably goes through 23. Or 20. Yeah. I don't know. Someone will know.
Soon.
But it was good. I've been enjoying it.
And then kiss the release schedule goodbye.
Yep.
So,
who's the artist again on the new one?
Some dude we never heard of.
And lastly, one book that I think I'm the lone person still buying it is The Flash from DC.
I need to say that this is the first month since junior high school I haven't bought The Flash.
Well, you're missing out, mister.
No, I'm not.
Because you know what happened?
Fill in.
Different artist, awesome book.
Yeah, but you know what? I decided it wasn't just the art. I kind of bored by the story, too. And I decided no more books that bore me.
The story got really good.
I could kiss you.
They introduced a child Thawn named Inertia, and he's like an anti-impulse.
Yeah, I don't care.
And
he's an anti-impulse? He sits and thinks about everything, reasons things out?
Oh, you know, contemplates. Reverse impulse. Yeah.
He does a lot of research.
It's called the contemplate.
Hold on, I gotta look something up.
it was really good. It was really, really good.
I just don't care. I felt really sad, because it's one of the books I really started buying since when I was, 12.
I felt like that when I had to drop Green Lantern.
But I can't. I just can't. I can't keep supporting a book that's boring.
Damn it, this won't come off my arm. Damn it, no matter how hard I scrub.
His arms are all scabby.
I just wanted to make the point that when the artist changed from the Lashley dude, it's really good. This artist this week was DeMeo, I think.
But if it's a different artist every time, then how good is that?
What's funny is that the Lashley guy, who everyone's complaining about, he can't even put the things out on time.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Ron Adrian. It's written by Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo, and it's penciled by Ron Adrian. Yeah, no, that's a great irony, is that nobody likes him, and he's late as well. The guy who filled in the last time, they should totally give the book to. It was such a good look. They needed, with a new Flash, you need a fresh look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that was a key thing which they missed out on, so F them.
Well, not just fresh look, but you need a competent artist. And the regular guys is not
competent. Of course, yeah, but you need a fresh look with a competent artist.
Yeah, you'd take Scott Collins again, though.
Yeah. Comicole.com is your best solution for discounted comics and trades. All new Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and Image books are 40% off. Stop by their site every month and pre-order the books if you want, or if you prefer, you can get a subscription service and have them automatically sent to your house every month. In addition to current comics, you've got an excellent selection of trade paperbacks and hardcovers at 30 to 50% off. More books arrive every month. Check them out at comical.com. Let them know you heard about them at iFanboy.com. They've got cheap and flexible shipping options, an ironclad guarantee. They're definitely worth a look.
I feel like you've been watching The Price is Right, and you're taking tips.
With Rod Roddy?
Yeah. Like, you could do that for that, just as what you could do... I can't remember any of those good old products.
Yeah, when they talk about the products that were placed in the show, yeah.
The ones that I've never seen in the store, but it's the same kind of corn oil they've been talking about for 30 years.
Canola. Anyway, so the email deluge continues, and our first email comes from Matt from Denver. Should we talk about Matt?
Yeah, Matt. Let's try to get your thoughts together in one email.
Matt really likes email. So he sent us a lot. We condensed them. So he had a couple of questions.
So what I'm saying is you keep a little tab by your desk and you write these things down. And then at the end of the week, you just put them in one email.
makes our lives a lot easier.
I'm looking out my window. I think you're there. I'm kind of freaked out.
So Matt, his first question is that he never liked Ant-Man, even as Giant Man. Convinced me to like him. I feel like he was clapping his hands as he said that. You know, like we
don't like being pushed around, so you so keep on not liking him.
Well, no, but my question is that he mean Ant-Man the character or Ant-Man as in Hank Pym?
I would assume Hank Pym because he means as Giant-Man.
Even as Giant-Man. How can you not like Hank Pym, the most troubled character in the Marvel Universe? Hank Pym is one of the best creations coming out of Marvel, and he's completely underrated.
It's true.
And he's a wife abuser.
He's a wife.
Well, he was. He's
You're never not a wife once you get once.
They work things out now. They're back together.
Oh, there's no such thing as... Yeah, he was a murderer, but he's cool now.
It'll happen again.
Right, but he was an alcoholic, he was a wife beater, he was a split personality, he's genius, he invented Pym particles, he is one of the glues that keep the Marvel Universe together. So, go back and read the Avengers complete run, get the Essential Avengers Essentials and read it all, and you'll love Hank Pym.
Just some light work there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Go back and read everything the Avengers ever had.
From 30 years.
So iFanboy endorses Hank Pym.
No.
We endorse wife beating. No. You gotta admit, he's a good character.
No, I think he is a good character.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I think it's interesting in his like, you know, he's all sorts of different characters.
Yeah.
Like, there's Ant-Man, he's Giant Man, he's Goliath.
Yellow Jacket. What I love is that he didn't really have powers. He was a scientist. He made the Pym particles and had Ant-Man prop powers. And then he's like, well, if I can make myself small, I can make myself big. So he made himself big and became Giant Man. Then he became Goliath. Then he's like, oh, I'm just going to be Yellow Jacket.
Where he was like an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like he would just he changed superhero identities like we change outfits.
But I think that's part of his insecurity of the character, so he was
Comfortable because he doesn't have powers and he's around this whole pantheon of powers and yeah.
What did he do as Yellow Jacket? If he didn't have powers, he was normal sized.
He stung.
I think he had some sort of sting. Yeah, he had some sort of sting.
Is he around anymore?
Yeah, he's around. He was just an Ant-Man.
He's also in Civil War.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's right.
Captain America.
Maybe he's not in the Avengers, so I don't know what he's doing.
No, he's on
the side of Reed and Tony's. Not surprised.
He helped build the Gulag.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, well, he's a prick.
All right.
Anyway, his next question: do you think when a writer sits down and say creates a Batman Detective Comics issue, the writer is considering the details as deeply as you discuss on the shows, or do you think they just toss the characters into situations and pull the lever to see what happens?
I hope they're thinking about it.
I think they talk. I think they think as deeply because to hear them talk at panels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think they do. I think some of the big ones do, like Mark Waid and.
But I'm sure at the same time there are other guys out there who are like, I can't believe they're paying me for this horse shit.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Like any job, really.
Yeah.
If they're a good writer, they're thinking about it.
Yeah, and I would say the best writers are comics fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, no, I mean like people who grew up reading comics. No, think about it. You know, like the Busiek and the Waids and so, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
they,
but then there's others who.
I don't think that's. I mean, you can pull out cases of it, but
you can also
pull out thousands of people who were comic fans and tried to write comics and were a disaster.
Dan Slott.
People like Dan Slott.
He sucks.
I know, yeah, Connor doesn't. That's why. All right, and his last question that we wanted to answer was: you can't possibly think Neil Adams is crazy. We don't buy his theory.
I don't think Neil Adams is crazy.
We mentioned crazy Neil Adams in an old show.
Not so much in terms of his sanity, because actually I've read up on his theory, and it could kind of make sense. He's an eccentric character. He's an eccentric person.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. I love him.
Literally, I thought he was crazy just because I'd heard he's crazy all over the place, but he's not like crazy like John Burns crazy.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's more fun to be like crazy Neil Adams, but we mean crazy in a good
find
way.
Some podcast or some interviews. I know that he's been on Fanboy Radio, he's been on Word Balloon. Listen to him.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool. He tells a really good story.
I wish some Marvel or DC please get over the royalties issue and just let him put him on a book.
He could pencil a book today, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally could.
You could give him any book and he'd be good on it.
And you'd read it.
I would read it.
And you'd like it. You put him on Wildcats.
That guy, he's responsible for so much good in comics.
Yeah, that's true. Creators' rights and stuff like that.
Creators' rights and stuff, but I just mean stylistically. What he went through, like, changing Batman from, like, crazy walking around outside in the middle of the day Batman to sort of more nighttime, scary Batman.
Yeah, and Green Arrow, Green Lantern,
yep.
and the stuff he did with layouts and X-Men, I mean, it was amazing. Okay, so thank you, Mark. And so please, one email next time.
that was Matt, actually.
Matt, I'm sorry, because our next email comes from Mark from Des Moines,
Iowa.
He thanks us for responding to his email a few weeks ago about Spider-Man. Okay, you're welcome. He wanted to ask something else. What do we think of the 1990s animated Tick? personally, he loved it and was home sick a few days this week. We're sorry. We hope you're better. And he watched the DVD and found it funny, even, maybe even funnier.
Funnier than what?
He had found it previously.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I missed the Tick Boat, to be honest with you. I just never got on with it.
Did you watch it or just never saw it?
I just never saw it. I've never even seen it. I know it's supposed to be pretty good, and I know Putty from Seinfeld did the live-action one. It's supposed to be hysterical, but I never saw it. So
I missed it.
You did? I watched it a little bit in college, but I didn't love it. But it was funny.
This is the worst answer to an email question ever.
Well, luckily, the second part of his email saves that.
Booyah!
Because also, he says, lately we've been helping people give girl advice and whatnot, and he thinks that this is kind of in that vein. Recently, his friend James came out of the closet, and he just wanted to take a moment to say that whatever James chooses to do with his life is fine by Mark, and that Mark will support him. And so if we could pass that along to James, he'd really appreciate it. And we don't know if James listens to the podcast or not. We assume maybe he does, but...
Wouldn't you tell him yourself?
Yeah, why don't you...
I assume James maybe listens.
Yeah, so James, Mark supports you, and iFanboy supports you, too. Good job.
I assume it's hard to come out in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, I know.
So... Keep on keeping on.
Awkward.
Keep on coming out.
Keep on coming out. Just come out every morning, come out of that closet. Our next email comes from Eric from Philadelphia. He just heard the latest podcast, and
You're out, James. Please. Yeah, but I'm coming out again. We know. Okay? Stop every morning.
God, you're such a drama queen. All right, no, James, for sure. It's good. Anyway, so Eric, he agreed with us about the lack of good books last week. Thank you. But he wanted to write in because about our response to The Boys. One of several references we made about the series by Ennis, and that while we don't like it, we fully support his earlier work on Preacher. In fact, all he seems to hear from other people about Preacher is how good it is. He wants to know why all the love. A friend lent him the series. He immediately disliked it, but he heard such good stuff about it that he stuck with it until about 40 issues, and he just couldn't take it anymore. It seems that the same reasons why we were complaining about The Boys happened in The Preacher, where it was gratuitous just for the sake of gratuitousness. He can't find anything redeemable about it. The storytelling is predictable in its own twisted way. The characters aren't at all likable. It just seems like a long string of cheap jokes and a bland story about trying to stick it to God. He says maybe it's the first take to this nihilistic approach, though he seriously doubts it, but it's not thought-provoking, and it's not even well done. And so he just wants someone to tell him straight up about what's good about the series and that it isn't, man, it's so cool. Is he missing something?
I feel like somebody just said to me, why do you like water? It's not even wet.
Wow. It was worse than what I was going to say.
I mean, I don't know of anything. Everything he says here, I think, I disagree with. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how do you convince someone that it's not badly written.
How do you convince somebody that Jim Lee's a good artist?
That's how I was going to relate to him. I just, yeah. You know, like, I can understand what you feel like, where everybody's saying it's good, but I don't understand how that relates to Preacher, because, and I think there was something very intangible about Preacher where I could not stop reading it, and I wanted to know what was happening next.
Preacher's full of heart. It's not gratuitous for the sake of gratuitousness. Mm-hmm. There's redeemable qualities about all the main
characters.
However,
if you think about what Preacher's about, and this, I'm going on a limb, I'm going to make some assumptions. It's about how to, like he says, it's about how to stick it to God. Maybe, like, it's possible people could find that offensive, and if you're coming at it from a certain point of view, I could find that very discomforting and distasteful.
No, it certainly doesn't come off that's his point of view. But
no, but yeah, I'm trying to think of a reason why somebody wouldn't have liked
it. I'm trying to think what it would be like to read Preacher now as opposed to when I read it, you know, 6-7 years ago.
I don't think it was that long ago.
Yes, it was.
6 years ago?
It was 2000.
Yeah, it was 2000 when I picked it up, started.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. 2000.
So, it happened in my life.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't know if I would have the same approach that I had to The Boys, where, like, you know, people have done this, I've seen this, blah, 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 but there was something to me really unique about it, and, like, Connor said something, it had heart, it had sincerity.
You know, what's funny is that he talked about the fact that he thought the characters were unlikable. And right. I thought that those were all broken characters who should have been unlikable, and they were on the
they
surface.
They totally weren't.
They were unlikable in the same way, like, I hate to make an Office reference, but the same way that Ricky Gervais was unlikable in The Office. Like, you still felt for him. Like, I liked Cassidy. I liked Custer. I liked Tulip.
The thing is that you know that in the end of the day, like, Jesse Custer was a good guy. He was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't going after the wrong. He was trying to make the bad guys pay. Not unlike Logan. Cassidy was a guy who, you know, through circumstances and everything, turned into this horrible monster. And, like, he had to do bad things, but he didn't really want to kill anybody.
Right.
You know, he was a good guy at heart. And, you know,
yeah.
Tulip was just a badass chick.
So... I don't know. I mean, it's tough, but it's hard to say other than it's good. Deal with it, but it's good.
Well, it's hard to differentiate personal taste. He may not be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd be curious what he says about boys. Then I would have a better idea of what his opinions are.
Okay, we're done with the boys.
Yes, no more boys.
We're going to close the book on that, unless like the next one comes out and it's awesome, and there's something happened that needs to be discussed. But
well, we would all probably miss it because we all dropped it, didn't we?
I'm still buying it.
We know you are. It's probably sitting there with Moon Knight.
So speaking of no more boys, our next email comes from Ray, who wants to let us know that she has yet another fangirl listening to the podcast. And she has one question. What are our thoughts on Marvel's upcoming saga, World War Hulk? She, for one, is excited and can't wait for next year.
I know Josh is excited, too. I
hate the Hulk.
I'm actually really curious about it. I might actually go pick up the trades from the whole Planet Hulk thing and catch up because it sounds like fun.
Well, the I don't know what
World War Hulk means, but it just sounds like.
Doesn't he end up back on Earth and wrecks havoc?
Earth and he's pissed. He's pissed.
See, whenever they talk about the Hulk, they market it like a Jerry Bruckheimer movie to me. It turns me off immediately.
But what's wrong? With
Like it's
Jerry
basically
Bruckheimer
like
movies?
Things are gonna blow up. Yeah, and
what's
I'm
wrong
like,
with the Jerry Bruckheimer movies? Admittedly, they're you know some are throwaways, but there have been some good
poorly
ones.
Poorly scripted.
You don't go to Jerry Bruckheimer movies.
I find them very. I don't know. I just find them very predictable and boring.
Was Jerry Bruckheimer Con Air?
Yes.
Yeah.
Con Air is a great movie.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's
awesome.
Funny. Oh, it's so funny. Anyway.
Sometimes you just want to see stuff get smashed.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about the Hulk.
What does he do?
He smashes.
You know what the thing? I guess it's in comics, smashing doesn't really excite me very much.
What does excite you?
I like characters and story. I thought Robin was really good.
Well, there's no, why can't you like both though? Why does one have to be one or the other?
If you like it, fine. I'm just saying historically, like I've never liked the Hulk.
The theme of this episode, I think, is tastes. Is like
everyone's
like,
taste
personal
is
tastes. I mean, like I know we make the music comparison a lot, but like you know, sometimes there are great complex bands with these complex songs and stuff like that are acquired taste and they're hard to like. But then sometimes you just want the 3-chord, you know, no effects kind of, you know, like. Fast, punky, you know what I mean? Like, very, you know, varying things. And, you know, sometimes you want to see Hulk, you know, fight his way through tanks and stuff, you know? Like,
I don't know. I've never liked that.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people who never liked you.
There are. I'm talking to two of them now. Several thousand others who were going, you know, that guy's pissing me off.
So,
at least I didn't offend any gay people.
Or abuse spouses.
Or abuse spouses or do cocaine.
Oh, speaking of cocaine.
You're starting to come down, aren't you?
I am. All right, so if you want to email us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. We love getting your emails, and we are responding to all of them. And some of you might have seen a little delay in the response recently. Just be patient.
But also, we're hoarding them for the
we're hoarding
episode
them for
54.
A
you could be overwhelming.
We just gave
the
it
system.
Away.
We talked about it last week. How's that giving it away?
Air of mystery.
Yeah, air of mystery. We're trying to get them to write more emails.
At this point, we may as well bring Jonathan back on.
Let's go to the voicemails.
We'll just do a show with Augie and Jonathan, and we'll just not do it.
We should not be on it.
Yeah.
That's a genius idea, actually. Okay. Our first voicemail comes from Gomer.
Again.
We like him. He calls a lot.
Yo, what's up, iFanboy? This is Gomer from Nashville, and no stupid comments, no crap from me this week. I actually have a real question. I got the little 25-cent Fable thing, you know, Snow White and all the crew kicking it in the real world, whatever, comic book. And my freaking wife just dug the hell out of it. You know, she usually reads Civil War and stuff that I've been getting just so she'll have something to talk with me about besides, you know, video games and football. But, I mean, she actually really loved it. So I figured I'd ask the experts in comics, not women, what are some good chick books, man? What can I get my old lady to read that she's going to, you know, like and I might like too? And, yeah, so peace. Later.
Haven't we answered this already?
Just say Sandman and move on.
Strangers in Paradise.
Strangers in Paradise.
Box Office Boys.
Boys and
Bone.
Mouse.
Mouse? Chick book?
Mouse.
Yeah. I don't know. Mouse is a chick book.
Blankets.
It's just a book.
It's not
blankets,
like, it's not like
blankets,
they can only read Sweet Valley High.
No, I know that.
Oh, she's
but
a girl. Let's only give her things that have pink in them.
No, I'm not saying that.
Here, let me give some different answers.
Persepolis? Persepolis? Whatever.
Persepolis.
Andy Watson's work.
Yes, yeah. Love Fights.
Breakfast Afternoon. I don't think Love Fights so much. I wouldn't recommend that.
All right, then.
Well, it was
Little
sketchy.
Star was good. Little Star was good.
Breakfast Afternoon or...
G.I. Joe.
Wasn't it something, Day? It ended in Day.
Yeah.
Slow News Day or something like that?
That's Slow News Day.
Alias.
Alias.
Or this one will win every time.
What?
Judd Winnick's...
The Boys.
Pedro and Me.
Oh, yeah. The Boys.
I bet... Yeah. If she's younger, maybe Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
But if she's in her late 20s or after
Crisis
that,
on Infinite Earths.
All right.
I couldn't
Connor's
even
done.
Finish Christ on an Infinite Earth.
All right, our next email comes from Logan from
Watchmen.
Logan.
Hey guys, this is Logan from Kentucky again. A little bit more awake, a lot less grouchy. Sorry, Josh, about the LA comments. Just something spur of the moment, I guess. A little anger thing going on there, I guess. I had a road rage incident that day, and it just kind of trickled over into my phone call. Anyhow, I noticed that in your podcast this week that you had talked a little bit about Galactus, and it reminded me of one of my favorite comic books, ROM. I'm sure some of you would be laughing about that, but I really enjoyed some of the storylines in it, and I was just wondering what you guys think about that comic book, and would there ever be a chance of it making a comeback? I notice, you know, there's a lot more excitement going on with the Civil War thing, and just generally a lot of the storylines seem to be getting a little bit better in Marvel Universe, and I just thought it might be a good time to bring some old characters back, like ROM. And if any of you guys have ever read that book, there's a lot of good... writing in it. I believe Bill Mantlo did the majority of it, and Sal Buscema did most of the art up until Steve Ditko took over near the end. But just let me know what you guys think, and appreciate the podcast. I've got two other podcasts from other sites, and you're my favorite so far, so keep up the good work, and talk to you guys later.
I actually own some ROM somewhere.
Oh, I definitely own ROM somewhere.
What the hell is ROM?
ROM Space Knight. He looked like
robot.
It looked like a big robot. I haven't heard the name Bill Mantlo in years. He was great.
Yeah.
Remember him? I have no idea what he did, but I remember him being great. More to the point, though, did he run somebody over there?
In the middle?
In the middle? Yeah, that was a long pause. That was.
Should I go back? No, I'm in the middle of a call.
Do not call us when you're driving, please.
Listen to you with your NPR kindness.
I know, which is ironic because I
call us when you're driving.
I call you guys.
Every
I call
day.
The podcast that I drive.
Here's I think if you are not named Gomer or Logan, you should call us.
Yeah. Please call us. Yeah, we actually we did get one more voicemail, but unfortunately the quality wasn't that great on the recording, so we can't play it. But Brendan called, who is a new caller actually, and he called. He's a new listener, new to comics, and he wants to know what we think of Invisibles because he's heard that was pretty good. And so, Brendan, thanks for calling, and maybe try calling again sometime. The line will be clearer. But Invisibles, Grant Morrison, Phil Jimenez.
The inspiration for The Matrix.
Yes. For 10 years now, I've been meaning to pick that up in trades, and I haven't.
Why?
I don't know. I've never had that push off the cliff to actually do it. You know, I'm always like, oh, should I pick that up? And then I put it back on the shelf.
I read the first trade. I didn't really like it.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird, Grant Morrison.
Oh, then
it's more
like
along
it.
The filth lines than.
Ugh. You brought back a bad place.
Yeah, I mean it's better than the filth, but I mean I'm sure it got
be
better.
Hard
I only read the
be.
First one, and I just it didn't grab me, so I didn't keep going with
it. What was the premise of it?
I don't even remember.
It was something.
Some other world society that's behind the edges of the actual society, and these are the people who really know what's going on, and blah, blah, blah.
It's supposed to be good, though.
I guess. People love it. People love it. But
and
I never...
Phil's like, very proud of it.
It's well drawn.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, then. So if you want to call us and leave us a voicemail, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. We definitely encourage you to call. So, Frapper!
Hello! 456. We're getting Ooh. Close. We're getting close.
27 more people in the past week. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So,
people like Ali Delgado in San Francisco, California. Brandon in Tottenham, Ontario.
Come on down!
Dean in Del Mar, Delaware. Anthony in Hong Kong. Luke in Sydney, New South Wales.
Australia.
Charles ahead. And Raleigh, Donnie and Salem, Brian and Columbia, Casey and Ventura, and Dan in Buffalo, who so hopefully he's not buried under snow.
It was like 2 feet.
And there's one more person not on the Frapper map that we wanted to shout out to, right, Connor?
AJ, proprietor at Star Clipper Comics in St. Louis, who...
We meant to tell the story last week, and we forgot.
So. Yes. AJ recognized Jimski, who is a frequent iFanboy.com member, poster user, whatever you want to say.
Community member?
Occasional voicemail caller, and she recognized him from the podcast, and that was very cool. We've never been recognized from the podcast, but Jimski has.
Exactly. So
that's awesome.
So thanks, AJ. A lot. No. Star Clipper Comics. I forget what city it was in.
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
St. Louis. St. Louis.
www.starclipper.com.
Which I believe he called the Gateway City.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about St. Louis. Let's move on. Okay, so thank you,
AJ. Is
that
a baseball thing?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. I don't want to talk about it.
He's totally serious. I don't even have the ability to talk about it.
I'm like not even kidding. that's the funny thing. Anyway,
not funny. It's scary. All of a sudden, you sound like Dad after I broke the plate, disappointing me. I'm sorry.
Just got out of my sight. So you can go to the Frapper map at frapper.com/ifanboy. That's frapper.com/ifanboy, and stick your pin in the map and help us get to 500. Because when we get to 500, then we're allowed to start taxing our listeners, because
yes,
we're a sovereign nation.
A farthling.
A farthling. A fiefdom.
What the hell just happened to this show?
I just hit another line.
It's been a rough day.
Episode 52, blow. Okay, listen, you kids out there, we were just talking about Jimski because we know him because he goes to iFanboy.com and he posts all the time with such wonderful people as Fred and PV, Dave Graham, all these folks. I'm not mentioning people. I'm going to make them mad.
Yeah, but there's a lot of really cool people.
There's like a lot of people there, and you should go there because a lot of times people will call us or will send us emails and be like, you didn't talk about this, you didn't talk about this. We don't have time to talk about everything on this podcast, and that's the place where we go to try to finish some things out. So if there's stuff that we didn't talk about, there's comics you want to talk about, you can always go there and go to the Pick of the Week thread and talk about your week's books or any of the other stuff we got going on. Go there, and it's a good discussion place.
Yes.
But if you do want to email us and complain that we didn't talk about something, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or
you see someone furiously typing with the two fingers how they loved ROM Space Knight. I can't believe you said that.
We love it.
You know, we don't ever really get mails like that. I always allude to some angry listener. They don't really exist, I don't think.
No, they don't. Yeah, it's all the love, and we really appreciate that.
The voicemail line is 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697, which it's also good for the love.
Yeah, or the hate, because the hate is funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's true.
So. And, you know, as always, we guess you can go to myspace.com/ifanboy and be our friend.
We're so
excited about our MySpace.
We're so reluctant about it.
Yeah. Or please head over to podcastalley.com or podcastpickle.com or in iTunes, and you can actually vote for us or give us a rating or tell the world what you think about our show.
Or if it's less than 5 stars, we don't want you there. Okay, I was kidding about that. See? They're both like, I can't believe he said that.
Most importantly, you know, as always, spread the word. iFanboy's been – it's been almost a year, and we never imagined the number of people that would be listening to it or listening, and it's mainly because of all you folks. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
More importantly, you know what? We've been spending some cash lately. And if you're out there and you really dig the show and you want it to get better, we could really use some donations. I'm not saying you break yourself. If you have some extra shit, you like the show, you want it to keep going, you want to see if there's some more stuff we can do, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations and you can make any sort of donation you'd like of any amount. We would appreciate anything.
And you don't need a PayPal account, just so you know. You can use your regular credit card as well. Yes. So
a PayPal account's not too hard to get, though, if you want to.
Yeah, PayPal account's very easy to get and very helpful. So,
You know, that's just if you want to help us keep the show going. We've got stuff. We keep saying we've got stuff planned. You're going to see it soon. We promise.
I'm just waiting for them. The people are going to be like, "Where is it?
They start getting impatient. I would like my money back because the
level
was
down for 3 hours. Where's my money going?
What's the problem here? Time Ron laughs, my speakers pop.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up.
Thank God.
Jesus.
What good happened? Times. I had fun this week, guys. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
And they're so happy to be on the phone with me.
Please come back next week.
Who is that guy?
We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See, music starts up there, and then like, either it fades in, or if it's the kind that sort of comes in on a beat. And that's the part when it's like, da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, oh, that was a lot of fun. I wish they talked about a different book. No, I can't hear that one guy. I don't know if it's Ron or Josh.
Right, one of you said something.